I will touch on some Michigan topics of discussion in the recruiting world, but like I said, you guys can jump in. If you're not part of the Wolverine, make sure to subscribe for $1 right now. So $1 gets you an entire year at thewolverine.com. But yeah, just like I said, hop in with any questions whenever you guys want to. The first thing I want to touch on, I was on the road this week at the Sound Mind, Sound Body Showcase out in Wixom over the weekend. Had a chance to see a couple of in-state targets, Michigan commit, Samaj Morgan. So we'll start off with the in-state guys. But I guess before we do, we have a request, and it is Haven Harris. All right, Haven, you're up first. I think we have to give Haven some time to open up his mic. I think you're on mute, Haven.
Oh, sorry about that, EJ.
All good. What's up, man?
Hey, thanks for taking me. Always a pleasure to talk to you about this stuff. And thanks for doing the Twitter Spaces. Really enjoy it.
Yeah, no problem. Appreciate you for hopping on and asking a question.
So I know everyone in to a degree, I'm not going to say rightfully so, but everyone's worked up about Dante or CJ. But we also had top like 10 or top 10 quarterback, at least Julian Sain, come in last week, I think it was. And it seems like we've got the 24 board pretty expanded. Could you speak to that at all? Where do you think that looks in case, you know, the two big in-state fish don't hit?
Yeah, no, definitely. It's a good subject to touch on. Like you said, Julian Sain came in for an unofficial visit. Big-time quarterback out of California, potential five-star kid. So, you know, he's definitely one that's very, very interested in what Michigan has to offer. I would say Michigan is in that top group, probably in that top five early on. I think he's a real possibility. He has some connections out to the Midwest. I think he can return for another visit. And yeah, I think the Wolverines are major players with him. You know, they went on a spree where they offered some more elite level guys. So Julian Sain was one of them. Dylan Raiola was another. But right now I'm expecting Dylan Raiola to end up at Ohio State. But one prospect they did offer in that flurry of 2024 quarterback offers was Elijah Brown out of Modern Day. And it's always tough to pull Modern Day kids. It seems like a bit of a feeder school to USC, but I had a chance to see him live a couple of times last year when I was out there seeing Damani Jackson, and he's extremely impressive. I thought he was one of the better sophomores that I saw all year, so he's another name to know. Again, a tough pool from Modern Day, but the guy I'm really, really love is Michael Van Buren out of St. Francis in Baltimore. Obviously, Michigan has a great pipeline going on at St. Francis, having landed Blake Corum, Nakai Hill Green, Derek Moore, you know, Biff Podgy's on staff, obviously. So I feel like Michigan has a good connection already with Van Buren. He visited last month. I had a chance to catch up with him at the Under Armour camp in Baltimore not too long ago, and he really, really praised Michigan. He's had a great visit. He enjoyed his conversations with Matt Weiss, spent a little time with Harbaugh, had some time with Biff and some of the St. Francis guys. So I think that connection will definitely help. And Van Buren's stock is, you know, going sky high. He just picked up an offer from Alabama, but I think with Michigan's connections, they'll always be in the mix. You know, they have an offer out to Michael Hawkins down in Texas powerhouse Allen. And, you know, I think Michigan was in there pretty early, and they'll have a chance to get him on campus here in the summer and maybe create some movement. He's a guy that's seeing his stock rise as well. I think he's a little similar to Van Buren. I saw him in Dallas at that Under Armour camp. And then, you know, a little bit further down the list is Isaiah Marshall, another in-state kid at Southfield. A little on the shorter side, has some mechanical work to do, but Michigan offered him as a middle schooler, and he still has some pop to his throws. You know, I had a chance to see him at the Elite 11 camp in Ohio. So those are the guys they've offered in 24. outside of Carr and kind of just an overall picture of where Michigan stands.
Thanks, EJ. I guess my final question, I'm sure you'll hit on Dante, because how do we not hit on Dante? And every time there's a Michigan recruiting discussion at this point on any site. I know that there's been a couple of reports from other places saying, you know, LSU and Notre Dame are now back in. I just kind of, like you keep preaching, I feel like the longer this goes, the better it is for Michigan and for him to stay home. And I'll close with that. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for joining. Look, with Dante, we're going to talk about Dante every single week, but right now nothing's really changing with Dante. I think it's going to end up going until the end of summer. That's what his plan has been. I texted with Dante earlier this week. We really didn't talk too much about recruiting. He actually told me he had Whataburger for the first time in the state of Texas, but still preferred In-N-Out. So that was kind of the gist of our conversation. So, with recruiting, it's him taking some of these early official visits. Like you mentioned, went out to LSU. He's at Oregon this weekend. Took an unofficial to Miami. So he's genuinely interested in some of these out-of-state schools. Crystal Ball recruited him at Oregon before going to Miami. Obviously, Josh Gattis is now at Miami. Oregon's offensive coordinator has done a tremendous job with Dante. LSU has Brian Kelly recruited him at Notre Dame. So I think he is interested. I think Dante is one of those kids, and I was actually talking to one of my coworkers about it. Dante could just spurn, the Midwest schools and go to an Oregon or a Miami or an LSU. I think he has that in him. But at the same time, Michigan's always been that school. I mean, they offered him as a seventh grader. He's been there a million times. He used to go to a summer camp there for academics. I mean, Devin Gardner's his trainer. So there's a lot of Michigan ties with him, a lot of push for Michigan. I think it's become a little bit of a dull option just because he's so familiar with it, and there's so much like, hey, when are you going to go to Michigan? Things of that nature. So I could see a scenario where, at the end of the day, he his heart stays at home and he does pick Michigan. But we still have a ways to go in this recruitment. I think with Dante, we could still see some twists and turns, but right now he's, like I said, taking some of these early official visits, and I know he said he wanted to take some downtime here in the next few weeks to get away from recruiting. It looks like we have a request from Jordan Eggleston, but I can't admit you for some reason. Let's see if we can exit out some of these Notre Dame trolls. And if it'll let me do it. All right, Jordan, you're on.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. What's going
awesome.
On, man?
So I know we've, as you've mentioned, and it's been talked about a lot, the recruiting's kind of been stalled, I guess, for lack of a better word right now. So I'm curious if you think this is a situation where it's maybe we're waiting for one commitment, and then there you could see that be a snowball effect for some other guys to commit, or is this a situation where we're going to have to get into the season, get 5, 6, 7 weeks in, really rack up some wins and convince these kids that, Michigan's stable and things are here and trending in the right direction?
Yeah, I think Michigan's always been at its best in the summer with official visits. You look at last year, and I think Michigan actually has more commits right now than they did at this time last year. Now, they did have a high-profile class leader in Will Johnson at the time, which is a difference maker because Michigan really doesn't have that right now. I think Samaj Morgan's playing his role and helping recruit, but, as much as I love Samaj and as much as he's respected in-state, he doesn't have the high profile that Will did nationally. So I think that's kind of the difference. But yeah, I think from an overall standpoint, obviously there seems to be a lack of momentum, and I definitely wouldn't dismiss that. I think Michigan had a tumultuous offseason, obviously, with Harbaugh and the NFL rumors and the staff changes and everything that went on the last few months. I think Michigan can swing that back. They always do better later So again, this summer, the official visits are going to be key. Michigan's revamped its entire recruiting staff. I think Christina DeRuiter is someone we don't talk about a lot, but she has done a tremendous job in the Michigan recruiting department in terms of setting up these official visits, coordinating things. I think Albert Karshnia is a very detailed oriented person that's going to, you know, maybe even be an upgrade from Courtney Morgan in terms of planning out these official visits and making them personalized. But Michigan always knocks it out of the park with official visits. I think in the summer, when most of these recruits are taking their OVs, when Jim Harbaugh becomes more involved and gets guys over to his house and has John Harbaugh come out to talk to the recruits and things like that, I think that's when Michigan really makes its move and makes its push. And that's what happened last year. And of course, you know, they had a strong close on National Signing Day in December as well, landing some guys that, you know, weren't even in the mix. I mean, Keon Saab was obviously committed to Clemson. Darius Clemens had eliminated Michigan. So I think, you know, you just have to be patient, stay the course. I know it sucks because as a Michigan fan, you saw the season that Michigan had and you were expecting, you know, Michigan to just be on a roll, landing commitments on the recruiting trail. I kind of expected that as well, but, you know, we didn't see the crazy offseason coming either. So overall, you know, I think Michigan will get back on track in the summer. They'll close strong like they always do, and you know it's April, so we'll see how it all turns out.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, people have a tendency to panic and the sky is falling, and then like you said, it is April. I was just curious, didn't know if maybe it was something where one commit might start off a chain reaction.
No, yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously, if you can get a Dante Moore, a Nicholas Harbor or something like that, I think that, you know, they would be obvious class leaders and guys that would spark other commitments. But you know, with Dante taking it late into the summer, with Harbor potentially taking it all the way to December, you don't really have that guy that I think can lead the class this cycle. So I think that's kind of something that's holding Michigan back a little bit, is not having, you know, the vocal guy like Will. But again, I think Michigan can regain that momentum, in the summer with official visits. But appreciate you jumping on and asking the question, Jordan. All right. It looks like we have a few other speaker requests, but I'm afraid to accept them because I think some of them are trolls. But it does look like we have a dude with a plankton, profile picture. It says Michigan Fanatic. We'll give it a roll. All right, Michigan Fanatic, hopefully you're not a troll. So
what's up?
All right. Hey, man, do you have a question?
What do you think about Dante Moore and Notre Dame?
What do I think about Dante Moore and Notre Dame? Yeah, so I think that I couldn't tell if this was a Notre Dame fan or not, so let's just roll with it. Look, you know, I think Notre Dame's done a really good job of recruiting Dante. Obviously, he's been high on the Irish. Notre Dame's been considered the leader for several months. At the same time, I think Dante had every opportunity in the world to commit to Notre Dame on that last visit when I think a lot of people thought he would. He didn't. Obviously, something's holding him back there. You know, I think Tommy Reese, again, has done a really good job. I think the depth chart is favorable to where Dante sees himself going in and potentially starting as a true freshman. You know, I think I don't know if Dante is necessarily a Notre Dame kid. I wouldn't really describe him as that. I think he can fit in anywhere. I don't think he fits the normal personality profile.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I also, you know, think that Dante likes more of that vibrant atmosphere. That's why he loves LA and going out west and everything. So I'm not sure South Bend is necessarily a fit either. But yeah, I mean, I think Notre Dame is obviously still a threat, and we'll just see how that recruitment plays out. All right. Looks like we have a few more requests, but it's not letting me bring you guys in. I don't really know what's going on with spaces right now. I know one is a clear Notre Dame troll. V24K, you've requested, but it won't let me bring you in. Let's go to Andy, because I know Andy is a straight up Michigan fan. So this will be a safe pick. What's up, Andy? How are you, man?
DJ.
Hey, man. How's it going?
What's up, my man?
Nothing much. Appreciate you for hopping on.
Oh, yeah. I'm just curious about running back recruiting. Do you think we would take another one and kind of let the cream rise to the top? Or do you think we're going to pretty much stick with what we got? Or, you know, is Cabana more of a gadget guy? Or is he going to be more of a Blake Corum type? You know, just kind of curious what your thoughts are.
Yeah, no, looking at the two running back commits right now, I think, you know, starting off with Benjamin Hall, I wasn't a fan of taking him this early. At the same time, Mike Hart's probably a better evaluator than I am. So I think we kind of have to trust his judgment a little bit. I mean, he's one of the greatest running backs of all time. He did a great job of identifying guys like Hall at Indiana. So I think we can at least trust his track record. And when you look at Hall, when you look at his film, one, he plays really, really good competition. He just didn't get a ton of action last year for whatever reason, you know, only racked up, I believe it was like 570 yards. So not a ton of production at the high school level, but I know North Cobb is a great program. They consistently churn out D1 talent. But when you look at his film, you see kind of that Hassan Haskins mold. Michigan's been looking for that power back throughout the springs. Obviously, they had Tavier Dunlap, you know, go through it during the spring game. They moved Khalil Mullins back there. I think Hall, you know, for what he is, you know, a three-star guy that not a lot of people are excited about, I think he can fit that role. So he's a perfect complement to Cole Cabana, who's more of that speedy guy that you can put in the slot, that you can do a lot of things with, maybe like, not necessarily an AJ Henning role, mm-hmm. where AJ plays more receiver and you move him to running back. I think Cabana is more of a running back that you put in the slot sometimes, mm-hmm. but I think you can do kind of similar things with him. Obviously, when you run a 10-6 100 meter like Cabana does, you find a place for that type of speed. But I don't think he's an every down back, but I do think his skill set can be utilized. As far as a third back, you know, I think the option's still there. I think you can look at a guy like a Jaden Lemar, who Michigan has hosted twice. But right now, I think Lemar is leaning more towards Notre Dame. We'll see if Lemar still makes an official visit in the summer. I know that Hart has been evaluating some guys, so it's still a potential option. But as of right now, I think they're pretty happy with the two backs they have. I think they would take a third back if it was the right back. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of where things stand with 2023 running back. I think it's a little disappointing, just kind of giving overall thoughts. I think it's a little disappointing considering last cycle you landed a guy in CJ Stokes, who I think will be a good player and maybe outplay his ranking a little bit. But this cycle, I think Michigan needed to land kind of that higher end back. And when you have Cabana, who's a, you know, a speedy guy, and you have Hall, who's a power guy, they complement each other well, but you're still missing that elite back. You're going to be two cycles removed from Donovan Edwards by this time, you know, next year. So that's the only thing that really kind of concerns me about it.
Right. No, I'm just a little concerned with the short yardage production, because I think Haskins was as good as I've seen when it comes to short yardage carries, especially this last year. I wonder if Corum and Donovan get those carries if they go with the bigger kid. Name right now, the freshman from Texas, but or if they, you know, even go Orji in short yardage out of a Wildcat type package, who knows? I'm just kind of curious.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, I'm more on the recruiting side of things, but you know, you still have Donovan, you still have Corum. I think you're going to be fine. I think Kalel could do that. You know, I think Orji, like you mentioned, could do that. I mean, you saw it in the spring game. Orji is a tank. I mean, he's built so advanced for a freshman, right? Like, he just looks that part. So I think Michigan will be fine. I think I'm more concerned after Blakely, so where you just where you only have one of those guys. I think this season will be fine.
Appreciate it, bub.
But thanks, Andy. Yep, no problem. Ben, it looks like you are requesting, but I can't admit you. Again, I don't know what's going on with spaces tonight, guys. So sorry if you guys have tried to make some requests and I haven't been able to get you in. Right now, while we have a break in requesters, like I said, I just wanted to go back, touch on some road takeaways from Sound Mind, Sound Body. I definitely wanted to get that in. So yeah, like I said, I was at Wixom for their showcase. Had a chance to see Samaj Morgan again. Samaj picked up an offer from Purdue today, but obviously nothing to worry about there. He's locked in with Michigan. He told me, you know, he's busy on leading the class. He's working hard on Dante Moore. They've played 7-on-7 throughout the offseason. They're good friends, so I know Samaj is doing his best with Dante. He's also working on teammate Amir Herring, four-star offensive lineman, visited on Monday. Michigan's long been considered the favorite there. You know, as far as a player, I think Samaj was great. Again, I think he's had a really strong offseason. I think Samaj has been limited from a rankings perspective because of his size. I mean, he's about 5'9.5", but also because of the track times don't match up to the football speed. When you look at him play football live in an actual football game or even at events like these, you see the speed. He can take the top off of defense. He's explosive. He's shifty in the open field. But the track times don't add up. So I think that's something that's holding back Samaj from a rankings perspective. I know I've gotten that question a lot on the fort. But I think he's a really good player. My favorite thing about Samaj Morgan is he has that dog attitude. And that's like such a cliche, overused word. Everybody's looking for dogs these days, whatever that means. But I think Samaj kind of defines being a pit bull. Like, he does everything angry. Like, he runs routes angry. He attacks the football when he catches the football. He does that angry. He just plays angry, and he plays with a lot of swagger. You know, I think he's going to be a fan favorite at Michigan. I was teasing him a little bit because he has the big signature hair. Sometimes he does the braids, and sometimes it's like the poofy afro. But he cut it, and I was like, man, Michigan fans aren't going to recognize you. And he had the perfect response. He was like, they're going to recognize me no matter what because of my play on the field. So I think Samaj is going to bring a lot. He's that in-state kid that bleeds maize and blue. So he's going to be a leader and be kind of in the same mold as his former teammate Donovan Edwards from a leadership standpoint and just the locker room standpoint. I think a lot of guys will gravitate towards Samaj. Also had a chance to see some of the in-state underclassmen during my time on the road, starting off with the 2024s, let's go ahead and hit on Jacob Odin out of Harper Woods. So Jacob's a guy that I really, really like on the back end as a pure safety. I would be interested in seeing him play some corner. I've never had a chance to see him do that. He's always been kind of that deep safety guy in these 7-on-7 events. I like Jacob. You know, he's about 6'1". He's kind of added some really good weight, so he's bulked up. He has a little bit of a stocky frame. He has decent length, but the thing about Jacob that really stands out is just his football IQ. His dad is the head coach at Harper Woods, Rod Odin, and was a walk-on fullback at the University of Michigan. So he's a legacy recruit. He understands the game well, great natural instincts, great ball skills. So he checks all the boxes. I think if Odin was three inches taller, he would be a five-star prospect. Right now, I would grade him as a top 150 prospect, which I think is where most people have him at. But I think he's a safe take. And I think he was kind of considered a lob to Michigan early on just because he's a legacy kid. He's also a 4.0 student. Michigan has great academics. ClinScale offered him really early back when he was at Kentucky. So, you know, it was just kind of assumed that he would end up at Michigan. Michigan State's done a really good job of recruiting him. He's visited schools like Notre Dame and Ohio State. So I think this race is tightening up. I'm interested to see in what direction that recruitment goes. I also had a chance to see Belleville linebacker Jeremiah Beasley. This is a kid that's really impressed me this offseason. If we're talking about which in-state kid has caught your attention this offseason, it's Jeremiah Beasley. I had a chance to see him live in-game in the fall when I went out to see Aaron Alexander, who was a Michigan commit at that time. And Beasley impressed me more than Alexander. And this offseason, he's really progressed. So Beasley's not, if you go to his On3 profile, he's not ranked right now. I think the biggest hindrance with Beasley is height, but I don't really care about height when I'm evaluating inside backers. I mean, he's 6 foot. It's fine with me. The thing about Beasley is he's fast. He covers a lot of ground. He's comfortable playing in space. I've said it before, but you have to have speed and space to play in Michigan's defense, not necessarily the offense. But he plays sideline to sideline well. He covers ground. He's a guy that's extremely comfortable in coverage. He even played some cornerback in this tournament, which was really impressive. He's running the 200 meter for Belleville, and he's bulked up from, I want to say he was initially listed at 200 flat. He's bulked up to 212 pounds this offseason, and he looks thicker. I think he would be the perfect fit for this Michigan scheme as an inside backer. Problem is, he has some Michigan State connections. He's the brother of Malik Carr, who's a wide receiver for the Spartans. So I think Michigan State may have an early edge with him. But Michigan's working hard on him. They had him on campus for a visit earlier this offseason. But I really like what Jeremiah Beasley brings to the table. Again, I've been super impressed with him. Another Belleville kid, 2025 quarterback, Bryce Underwood. You know, he works with Donovan Dooley. He does a really good job of training quarterbacks and running the offense for Sound Mind, Sound Body in their 7-on-7 program. So I think Bryce has all the tools to be special. 5-star talent. I mean, this is a kid that could be top 10 in the country. And he's just kind of growing. Like, I saw Bryce last year, I guess when he was 13. And he was just, you know, a little bit of a shorter kid. He was about 6 foot, but still looked physically impressive. And, you know, he's added 3 inches. He's added more, you know, muscle mass to his frame. So I thought Bryce had a great weekend, and he's really been coming along this offseason. And the no-look pass that went viral was pretty crazy. If you guys haven't seen that, go look at my Twitter feed. But Bryce had a no-look pass, and I didn't even notice it. I was standing right behind him, and I got in my car to put it on Twitter before I left to drive back to Chicago. And I watched the clip, and I was like, did he no-look pass this? And I slowed it down, and it just looked unfair. He's just so much more physically mature than the rest of the kids. He already has a Michigan offer, a couple of other offers. He's an explosive slot receiver that saw some time at defensive back. He'll be a high school quarterback just because he's the most dominant athlete on the field. I won't spend too much time on Sadler since he's so young and it's so far away, but I love him. Like I said, I think he's the next potential 5-star out of the state of Michigan. So that kind of recaps my time at the Sound Mind, Sound Body Showcase. I appreciate you guys.